U.S. Customs cooperated after some initial reluctance. Trevor's passport had been scanned at Nassau International early that morning, and so far he had not left the Bahamas, at least not officially. His passport was red-listed. If he used it to enter another country, U.S. Customs would know it within 2 hours. DeVille delivered a quick update to Teddy and York, his fourth of the day, then hung around for further instructions. "He'll make a mistake," York said. "He'll use his passport somewhere and we'll catch him. He doesn't know who's chasing him." Teddy seethed but said nothing. His agency had toppled governments and killed kings, yet he was constantly amazed how the little things often got botched. One bumbling and witless lawyer from Neptune Beach had slipped through their net while a dozen people were supposed to be watching. He thought he was beyond surprises. The lawyer was to be their link, their bridge to the inside of Trumbull. For $1 million, they thought they could trust him. There'd been no contingency plan for his sudden flight. Now they were scrambling to develop one.
"We need someone inside the prison," Teddy said.
"We're close," DeVille answered. "We're working with Justice and the Bureau of Prisons."
"How close?"
"Well, in light of what's happened today, I think we can have a man there inside Trumbull within 48 hours.
"Who is he?"
"His name is Argro. 11 years with the agency, age 39, solid credentials."
"His story?"
"He'll transfer into Trumbull from a federal prison in the Virgin Islands. His paperwork will be cleared by the Bureau here in Washington, so the warden down there won't ask any questions. He's just another federal prisoner who requested a transfer."
"And he's ready to go?"
"Almost. 48 hours.
"Do it now."
DeVille left, again with the burden of a difficult task that suddenly had to be done overnight.
"We have to find how much they know," Teddy said, almost in a mumble.
"Yes, but we have no reason to believe they suspect anything," York said. "I've read all their mail. There's nothing to indicate they are particularly excited about Conyers. He's just one of their potential victims. We bought the lawyer to stop him from snooping around behind Conyers' post office box. He's off in the Bahamas now, drunk with his money, so he's not a threat."
"But we still dispose of him,"
Teddy said. It was not a question.
"Of course.
I'll feel better when he's gone," Teddy said.
A guard with a uniform but no gun entered the law library in mid-afternoon. He first encountered Joe Roy Spicer, who was by the door to the chamber.
"The warden would like to see you," the guard said. "You and Yarburn Beach."
"What's this about?" Spicer asked.
He was reading an old copy of Field and Stream.
"None of my business. He wants you now, up front."
"But tell him we're busy."
"I ain't telling him nothing. Let's go."
They followed him to the administration building, picking up other guards along the way until a regular entourage emerged from the elevator and stood before the warden's secretary. She, and she alone, somehow managed to escort the brethren into the big office where Emmett Broon was waiting. When she was gone, he said abruptly,
"I've been notified by the FBI that your lawyer is missing."
No visible response from the three, but each instantly thought about the money hidden offshore. He continued,
"He disappeared this morning, and there's some money missing. I don't have the details."
Whose money, they wanted to ask. No one knew about their hidden funds. Had Trevor stolen from someone else?
"Why are you telling us?" Beach asked.
The real reason was that the Justice Department in Washington had asked Broon to inform the three of the latest news. But the reason he gave was,
"Just thought you'd want to know in case you needed to call him."
They'd fired Trevor the day before and had not yet informed the administration that he was no longer their attorney of record.
"What are we going to do for a lawyer?"
Spicer asked,
as if life couldn't go on. That's your problem. Frankly, I'd say you gentlemen have had enough legal counsel to last you many years. Oh, what if he contacts us? Yarber asked, knowing full well they'd never hear from Trevor again. You are to notify me immediately. They agreed to do so, whatever the warden wanted. He excused them.